सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं शान्ताकारं भुजगशयनं पद्मनाभं सुरेशं विश्वाधारं गगनसदृशं मेघवर्णं शुभांगं लक्ष्मीकांतं कमलनयनं योगिभिर्ध्यानगम्यं वन्दे विष्णुं भवभयहरं सर्वलोकैकनाथं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। घुष्यते यस्य नगरे रङ्गयात्रादिने दिने तमहं शिरसा वन्दे राजानं कुलशेखरम्। हरि ओम। सो वी हैड ऑलमोस्ट 3 वीक गैप, सो आई समराइज द फर्स्ट 17 श्लोकस दैट वी हैव कवर्ड टुडे एंड देन स्टार्ट फ्रॉम द 18th। सो द फर्स्ट श्लोक इज होमेज टू द ऑथर राजा कुलशेखर आलवार, हु वॉज नॉट ओनली अ किंग बट वॉज अ ग्रेट सेंट पोएट स्कॉलर ऑफ मलयालम एंड संस्कृत एंड ही हैज कंपोज दिस ब्यूटिफुल टेक्स्ट। सो दे से दैट गॉड गेट्स वेरी प्लीज्ड व्हेन यू प्रेज हिज डिवोटीज, सो वन शुड ऑलवेज प्रेज डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड सेंट्स एंड नेवर क्रिटिसाइज देम। सो वी ऑफर आवर होमेज to the author who is a great saint and because of whose blessings we have this beautiful text, and we start by that. Then the author starts by explaining the beauty of the Lord, his beautiful eyes, his lotus feet, his hands, his face, and then he bows down to the Lord. He says, Vande Mukundam Mukundam Arvinda Layataksham, I bow down to Mukunda, the granter of liberation, that is Bhagwan Shri Krishna, who his blessings can take us across this ocean of samsara. But he says, how should we remember the Lord? So he says, Alapanam Pratipadam Kuru Me, O Mukunda, please make me cry for you every time. And the idea of studying this text is not to appreciate his poetry or his devotion to Bhagwan. Are wah, he was such a great devotee. The idea is I should become as great a devotee as Kulashekhar Alwar. Otherwise, our study is a waste of time. The reason to study is that just as Mirabai was a great saint, just as Tukaram was a great saint, just as Saint Francis was a great saint, just as Ramakrishna Paramhans, may I also have that same devotion for Bhagwan. May I cry for him that let me see God, let me become one with God. So that is the purpose of studying this text. That's why, and he says that Jayatu Jayatu Devo Devaki Nandanoyam. Oh, Bhagwan, you are always victorious. And no matter how hard we try, ultimately only thing prevails is God's will. So that one has to constantly remember. And if there is any success in my life, it is because of Bhagwan's grace. And he says, he asks God only one thing. He says, Avismritis tat charanaravinde. May I always remember your lotus feet, not only at the time of puja, not only at the time of studying this text, but throughout the day, throughout this life, and even many lifetimes. Bhave, bhave, may I remember lifetime after lifetime. At least this lifetime, we have this text and we have commentary by Swami Ishwarananda Ji. We are blessed, but maybe next life we may not have it. So he says, Bhavat Prasadat. He said, it is by your blessings and your grace that we have this opportunity to study. And may this grace stay with me lifetime after lifetime. Doesn't matter how many lives I have. I can have 10 lives, 100 lives, 1,000 lives. I don't worry. I don't even want liberation, he says. Later on, we'll see that. As long as I remember your lotus feet, as long as I have devotion for you, it doesn't matter how many lifetimes I have. And he says, why are you remembering me? You know, Krishna asks. So he says, Naham vande tava charanayor dvandvam advandva heto. He says, I'm not remembering you to go beyond the pair of opposites. You know, people say I have joys and sorrows. Oh, he says, it doesn't matter. Whatever is my karmas, let it come. I don't even need freedom from that. I don't even want. He said, do you want to go to heaven? No, I don't even want heaven. I don't even want freedom from hell. Kumbhi pakam, even the worst hell, if it is there in my karmas, I don't mind. But may I never forget your lotus feet. So that is why I am remembering you. And then he says, I do not even want the four purusharthas, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, nastha, dharme, na vasu, nichaye, naiva, kamo, pabhoge. He says, I do not want dharma, I do not want any artha, kama, I don't want wealth, I don't want desire, I don't even want moksha, I don't even want liberation, all I want is devotion to your lotus feet. And wherever I may be, devi va, bhuvi va, mamastu vaso, may I be in heaven, fine. If I'm on earth, it is fine. Even if I am in hell, it is fine. May I never. And then he gives us some very great advice, which he gives to his own mind, but it is direct, indirectly to us. Adyeva me vishatu manasa rajahansa. He says, in that lotus, in that nest of your lotus feet, may the bird of my mind enter today itself. So that's what he's saying. From today itself, place your mind in God. Do not delay for tomorrow, next week, next year, after retirement, next life. No, today itself, decide that I want to do this. And then he says, may I remember Sant Chintayami Hari Meva Santatam. May I remember Hari not constantly throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year, throughout my life. May I constantly remember the Lord. Why? Because if I don't remember the Lord, then this world is full of sorrow. He says, Bhava Maru, Maru. It is like a desert. And your feet are the oasis where I can find freedom from this desert. Otherwise, I am lost in the heat and the suffering. And then he says, why should you remember? It's not a punishment. He says, Sukha Karma Param Nastu Jane. He says, there is no greater joy in this life than remembering Bhagwan's lotus feet and remembering his face, remembering his glories, remembering his stories, remembering his kathas and his teachings, the Bhagavad Gita. So there is no greater joy than studying about Bhagwan from Bhagwan himself. So he says, Sukha Karma Param Nastu Jane. And then he talks to his mind. He says, Alasya Vyapaniya, give up this laziness. Because we say, I'm tired today. I don't feel like getting up in the morning to meditate. I don't want to do my puja. I am not well. I am tired. I slept late. No, do not have any laziness. Why? Because Bhagwan is ever ready to protect you. He says, Bhagwan, Lokasya Vyapaniya, you have reduced the sorrows of so many people, you know, so many people who were suffering, who were miserable. He'll talk about also later in this talk. So he says, Dasasya Kimna Kshamaha, if you can help all these other people that you have helped, the Pandavas and Dhruva and Prahlada and all of those, Dasasya Kimna Kshamaha, can't you protect me who is your Dasa? And then he talks about why it is so difficult to remember God. He says, because we are drowning in this ocean, Bhavasagar. And we are drowning. And what is holding us back? Our attachments. He says, attachments to spouse, to children, to our objects. That's why he says, Vishama Vishaya Toye Majjatam Apluvanam. Bhavatu Sharanam Eko Vishnu Poto Naranam. He says, these beings, who all of us who are drowning in this ocean of samsara without a boat, the only boat is Vishnu, boat called Vishnu, because only he can save us, only Bhagwan can send us this boat. So he says, send me the boat quickly so that I may get out of this. That's what he says, Bhakti Navam Prayaksha. Oh, Bhagwan, send this boat of bhakti. It is only through bhakti that we can get out of this. Otherwise, people say, oh, I can read Upanishads, I can do Karma Yoga. All that is good. But unless it is accompanied by bhakti, it is very dry. It is incomplete. We need bhakti and jnana both. And we need Karma Yoga. And then he talks about what are the distractions. He says, Ma draksham kshina punyan kshanam api bhakti bhavato bhakti hinan pradabje. He says, oh Bhagwan, may I never even see one who has no bhakti to you. May my ears never hear any poetry other than your glory. May my feet never go anywhere else. So he says, why are you that fanatical that you don't want to see or hear? He says, it's not fanaticism, because our mind very easily gets diverted, very easily can take it. And once we get involved and start talking to these people, they say, are kya, you are going to these lectures, reading this book, you have become a boring person. Come, let's have fun. We'll have some karaoke and some drinks and music and dancing and Las Vegas. And before you know it, your mind is taken off. So he says, may I never see anybody who is not your devotee. May I not hear him. May I not, you know. So the idea is to protect the mind and keep it safe. And then he says, what is the proof that Bhagwan is so kind and compassionate? He says, I have 6 witnesses. And he mentions them, Prahladascha, Vibhishanascha, Karirat, Panchalya, Ahalya, Dhruvaha. We know the stories. We talked about them last week. And so he says there are 6. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we talked Dhruva, Ahalya, Draupadi, and Kirirat, the elephant, the Prahlad, Vibhishan, how Bhagwan saved them. So they will show us the compassion of the Lord. So this is where he's, and then last week, the last verse was Jihve Kirtaya Murarepum. He says, oh, my tongue, please chant his songs. Oh, ears, listen to his bhajans. Oh, hands, bow down in prostration to him. Hands, you know, bow down. My head may bow down. My feet only go to Bhagwan's mandir or go to where Bhagwan's name is. May my nose only smell the tulsi that has been offered to Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And that is, and may eyes again not see anything else, only see him. So the idea is that all my faculties should be involved in his worship. So these are the shlokas we have done so far up to 17. We'll do shloka number 18. Jayashree, you want to repeat? Your tune is a little different from mine, but see if you can follow. Or you can chant your tune. He loka shrunuta prasita marana vyadesh chikitsami maam.
He loka shrunuta prasuti marana vyadesh chikitsami maam.
Yoga gnyasamudaharanti munayo yam yajnya valkyadayah.
Yoga gnasamudaharanti munayo yam yajna valkyadayah.
Antar jyotirameya mekam amritam krishnakhyam apiyatam.
Antar jyotirameya mekam amritam krishnakhyam apiyatam.
Tat pitam paramaushadham vitanute nirvanam atyantikam.
Tat pitam paramaushadham vitanute nirvanam atyantikam.
Thank you. You can please mute. We'll all chant together. He loka shrunuta prasuti marana vyadesh chikitsami maam. Yoga gnyasamudaharanti munayo yam yajnya valkyadayah. Antar jyotirameya mekam amritam krishnakhyam apiyatam. Tat pitam paramaushadham vitanute nirvanam atyantikam. Beautiful shloka. So now he is giving us advice. He says to all of us, hey, loka, all of you people. Loka also means the whole world. So we'll talk about that. Hey, loka, shrunuta, listen to me. Please listen to me. Very humbly, he's requesting. What am I giving you? I am giving you the medicine. He says, you are giving me medicine. What medicine? You are not a doctor. He says, no, I am. What is the medicine I'm giving? Shrunuta, please listen. Prasuti marana vyadha. Prasuti is birth, marana is death, and vyadha is illness. So all of us suffer from this illness of rebirth. Birth, death, jana, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So that is the disease. Vyadhi means physical disease. Adhi means mental disease. So we suffer from the physical disease called birth and death. And chikitsa, and I have this medicine for you, he says. Imam, listen to this medicine I have. And where did this come from? You think you are some king. Who are you to give us this medicine? He says, no. It's not from me. It is from great yogis. Yoga gnyaha, knowers of yoga. Samudaharanti, and they have declared this munayo, these munis, these great yogis. Who are those? Yam, these yogis like Yajnavalkya Rishi Adi. So Yajnavalkya was one of the greatest rishis who composed the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, giving advice to his wife Maitreyi, and just the largest and the most elaborate Upanishad has. So everything is there in it. So great yogis and teachers like Yajnavalkya and all other rishis have given this advice, this medicine, which I am just summarizing for you. It's not my knowledge. He doesn't take any credit anywhere. Even at the end, we'll see he gives credit to people who helped him. And he says, what is this medicine? It is called Krishna. In the third line at the end, akhyam piyatam. So this medicine is called Krishna medicine. Krishna medicine. And who is this Bhagwan Krishna? Who is antar jyotihi? He is the inner light of consciousness. Ameyam, immeasurable. The Bhagwan Krishna, his glory and he's immeasurable. He's beyond all these universes. He's beyond heaven, hell. He is that supreme consciousness that is within our heart. It's not even far away to find. Ekam, but is only one. So here he's talking about Advaita. Even though this book is Dvaita, you know, Krishna, Vishnu, but he says, no, there is only one, all this whole universe is. So he was an Advaita Jnani, but he's composing this hymn as a homage. But he says it is ultimately one. Bhagavan is not separate from us. And Amritam, and this Jyoti is immortal, which means I am immortal. I am immortal. Not only Bhagavan Krishna is, but I am also, because I am that one consciousness. That is my true nature. And so that is, so he says, drink that medicine called Krishna medicine. Tat Pitam, having drunk that, Paramaushadam, it is the best medicine. And what does it give us? And what will I get by drinking this medicine called Krishna medicine? Or what they call as Krishna soft drink. Swamiji in his commentary says, Krishna soft drink. You have Coke and Pepsi and Fanta. Only forget all of those. Starbucks. You know, you spend so much money for one coffee, $10. Just drink the name of Krishna. You don't have to pay anything. Just close your eyes, remember him, chant his name. Mil gaya, free mil gaya. And that is will give you immortality. And he says, vitanu tute, it gives you nirvanam atyantikam, endless nirvana. Nirvana means the liberation and lot more, liberation from sorrow. So we'll talk about that. So that nirvana you can get by chanting the name of the Lord. So loka, one is, of course, he's telling us, oh, you people, lokaha also means this whole world, because each one of us lives in a particular loka. One is, you can say bhuloka, this earth. But there are lokas, like there is the world of musicians. You know, musicians, they only want to listen to other musicians, talk music, discuss, go to physicists, go to physics conference. All they are talking is quantum mechanics. Or last night I went to a basketball game. It was a basketball loka. My God, it was so much noise and so it was a very good game. We had fun. But the point is that there are different worlds. There is the sports loka, music loka, you know, artist loka. So he says, be in the loka of devotees. So he says, oh loka, please listen to me, that you are suffering from this disease of birth and death. All of us are, you know, we know that asti jayate vardate parinamyate apakshiyate vinashyati. So the child is in the mother's womb, is born, grows, modifies, changes, then gets older, deteriorates and perishes. So that is the burden of all of us. And one should, again, it's not the end. Next life, again, we are born, again in the mother's womb. Then we are lying down somewhere, the child is lying. And then the insect starts biting him in the back. You know, there is, he's lying on the floor and this ant, and he starts crying, ah, ah. And the mother thinks that this guy is hungry, puts more milk in his mouth. He says, I don't want milk, remove this ant that's biting me. Mother doesn't know. And the poor guy cannot express, all he can do is cry. So she thinks this God do, he said, or she will start singing. And he said, "Arey, this horrible singing I have to hear again. When will she stop?" So he closes his eyes and stops crying. So she stops singing. So the point is that this will go on and on. How many more births you want? And then you go to youth, and youth only has two jobs. They only chase two things. Either cocktail or ponytail, right? Man only has two things he wants, cocktail, ponytail. So, pura life isme nikal jayega. Then old age, then you say, "Arey, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done, I should have started bhakti earlier, I should have started, maybe if these, you know, talks we had listened earlier at least." So the point is that there, no time is too late. That's why he said, just today itself, start remembering and start drinking this medicine called Krishna, which is free. Because Shankaracharya, otherwise Shankaracharya has composed a beautiful hymn, Shiva Aparad Stotram. He says, Shantavya me Aparad, Shiva Shiva Shango. Oh Lord Shiva, please forgive my Aparadha, that I never remembered you and I wasted all this time. So let us not do that. Let us remember that. And that is what he says, that is the cure of all diseases. And who are the yogis. So yoga, it does not only mean physical yoga, that is one, but here yoga means the science of knowledge, the right knowledge, and attaching myself to that knowledge. And yoga here means the science, just as they say karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. So this jnana yoga has been given to us by great yogis like Yajnavalkya, etc. And that's why it is proven. It is not only, and not only they have given the knowledge, but they have tried it and they have reached enlightenment. And then he says it is the inner light of consciousness that is everywhere. Bhagwan is not somewhere in Vaikuntha or in Goloka. Krishna is not, but he is right in our heart as light of consciousness. So all we have to do is turn inward and he is right there. So that's where you find him. But the same light is immeasurable. It is all over the whole universe, even beyond all the 14 worlds it extends. So it cannot be measured. It cannot be even described by humans. But it is my own true nature. And as I said, is only one. There is only one consciousness expressing as everything. So here he has given us Advait philosophy, even though he's the greatest Dvaitin, but he knows that there is Dvaitam, Advaitam. One alone is, and I and that consciousness are one. And that is the Amritam, that is the nectar of immortality. Because once you drink that and you realize that I am that consciousness, then you become immortal. Then death cannot touch you because death will only touch the body. But I am in Bhagwan right away in the second chapter of Krishna, of the Bhagavad Gita, he says that there was no time when you was not there, I were not there, and these kings were not there. And there is no time when we will not be there. We are all immortal. So if you think you are going to kill anybody, that is your foolishness. So right in the beginning of the teaching, Bhagwan tells us this in the Bhagavad Gita that is the nectar of immortality. And once you have drunk it, you will attain nirvanam. What is nirvana? Nirvana is very famous in Buddhism. Bhagavan Buddha talked about nirvana. Nir means no, vanam means fire, no fire. So what do we mean by no fire? Means there are no desires, there is no vasanas. There is not even ignorance. So none of that is there. That is called nirvana. That is immortality. That is eternal. That is the fire of complete knowledge, free of all desires, free of all ignorance. And that's what they say. That's why these saints who have discovered this inner joy, then they become incredibly strong. Because then they realize nothing can touch us. Nothing in the world can touch me because I am that Jyoti. I am that Krishna Jyoti, which is immortal, which is eternal. And no matter what happens, I will be unaffected. And that's why these saints, no matter how much torture they have had, look at Sant Gyaneshwar, look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram, how many problems they all had, but they remained unaffected. They remained because they discovered the inner strength. Now we'll go to the next shloka. Ramaben, you want to chant shloka number 19? Neeru, what is the page number? Can you tell her, please? Number 19. Ramaben, you have it?
New book, it is 95.
Page 95, you have it? You can unmute. He martya param paramam hitam shrunutavo vakshyami sankshepataha.
He martya paramam hitam shrunta vomak vakshyami sankshepataha.
Sansararnavamapadurmi bahulam samyak pravishyasthitaha.
Sansararnavamapadurmi bahulam samyak pravishya sthitaha
nana jnanam apasya cetasi namo narayana yetyamum
nana jnanam apasya cetasi namo narayana yetyamum
mantram sapranavam pranam sahitam pravartayadvam muhuhu
mantram sapranavam pranam sahitam pravartayadvam muhuhu.
Okay, you can use mute. We'll all chant together. He martya paramam hitam shrunutavo vakshyami sankshepatah samsararnavam padurmi bahulam samyak pravishyastitah. Neeru, can you mute her, please? Mute Ramma Ben. Mute, please. Yeah. He martya paramam hitam shrunutavo vakshyami sankshepatah samsararnavamapadurmi bahulam samyak pravishyasthitah nana jnanam apasya cetasi namo narayana yetyamum mantram sapranavam pranam sahitam pravartayadvam muhuhu. Sorry, my voice is a little down. So now he talks about the glory of mantra. And this is a very, this shloka I'll spend a little bit time because it's very, very important shloka where it says, why should we have a mantra? Each one of us must have a mantra. It can be your Ishta Devta, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or it can be Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, it can be Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. But one should have a mantra that is given to us by the rishis or by our guru. And it should, it can be our Ishta Devta or it can be like Gayatri mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha, you know, whatever. But pick one mantra and chant it constantly because that has a lot of power. And we will see what is the power of mantra. I'll cover that today. So he says, hey, martya. Again, he calls us mortals because we are all mortals, right? Marnam gachanti iti martya. We are dying, all of us. Every moment, somebody asked Gurudev, you know, when will I die? Do you know? He says, you're dying every moment. Every moment, cells are dying and time is going by. At the end of this talk, you will be 1 hour closer to death than when you started. He said, why didn't you tell us before? We wouldn't have come to this talk. If you had come or not, you would still be 1 hour closer to death. So the point is that every hour, you know, is that time is passing, and 1 hour, then at the end of the day, you'll be 1 day closer to death. At the end of this year, we are already 1 year closer to death. 2022 is gone. Not to be depressing, but to understand that life will come to an end. Sooner or later, it's whoever is born, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mritasya cha. Bhagavan says in the second chapter, one who is born, his death is determined. And one who dies, his rebirth is also guaranteed unless he or she realizes the truth. So he says, hey, martya, hey, mortals who are all going towards death. He includes himself. He says, paramam hitam shrunuta. Please listen to the highest thing that is beneficial that I am telling you. Oh, woe to all of you, I am telling. Vakshyami, I am telling, but sankshepata. I am telling briefly. This is covered in Bhagavad Gita in 700 shlokas, in Mahabharata in 100,000 shlokas, in, you know, Brihadaranyaka, in Yog Vasishta, again, hundreds of thousands of shlokas. But I am telling in just few shlokas, vaksankshepata. What am I telling you? Again, it comes back to the ocean. That is his favorite. Ocean and lotus, these two things he doesn't forget. and doesn't let us forget. He says, Samsara Arnava, the ocean of samsara. And it's not a simple ocean. Apad Urmi, the waves of apatti means waves of problems will keep on coming. So his ocean has constant waves. So here also this samsara has constant problems. Bahulam, bahut sari, many of them. And samyak pravishya, and you have entered. Samyak means you are completely covered in this ocean of problems. And sthitaha, and you are firmly placed, so you cannot escape. But there is one escape I can tell you. Very briefly I'm telling. And why are we suffering? Nana agnyanam, because of all kinds of ignorance we are suffering. Apasya, give up all this ignorance. And chetasi, and in the mind, have the mantra. So here he is giving us the mantra. Nama means chant this mantra. Om Namo Narayana. So he says that is the mantra in this particular text. Om Namo Narayana. You know, we always chant Om Namo Na. So he says, chant this Om mantra, Om Namo Narayana, iti amum, chant this mantra. Mantra, and mantra should always be before, with Om as the first. Without Om, no word, no mantra becomes complete. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here, Om Namo Narayana, mantram sa pranavam. Pranava means Om. So along with Om, you chant Om Namo Narayana, and not only just mechanically chant, you know, we say, oh, you know, Om Namo, like Om Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya, not like that. Chant, not mechanically, chant with feeling and pranama sahitam, bow down to Bhagwan when you chant. So when you say Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayana, bow down your head, pranama sahitam. And pravardhayam, and keep on repeating muhu muhuhu again and again and again and again. Don't say, you know, one time in the morning I did and one time at night. No, throughout the day, whenever you see a tree, you remember God, chant his name. When you see a child, you see a flower, see a sunrise, sunset. After bath, when the warm water, plenty of warm water, we are so blessed in this country. Thank God. Thank you, Bhagwan, for this beautiful, warm, nice, warm water you have given in plenty. So every moment, take it to remember. And why? What is the glory of mantra we'll talk about? So what mantra does expands our vision. See, our vision otherwise is very narrowed, you know, only me or myself or my family. So when you chant the mantra, your whole mind becomes expanded and moves from worldly objects to God. So the example I heard was that in your garden, there are a lot of weeds. So you start watering, you know, indiscriminately, say you are gone for 2-3 weeks and the sprinklers are on and the weeds start growing and the whole garden is taken over by weeds. And you come back and say, hey, what happened to my garden? All the weeds are there and they are grown. They have taken over. And if you don't stop them, they will take over. So what do? You pull out the weeds forcibly. It's not easy. You have to grab, pull them out. And then all the bare ground is there because all the grass is gone. Everything is weeds, weeds and weeds. So when you remove it, then there is bare ground. So what do? You put flowers there instead of weeds. So you plant beautiful flowers and water them daily. And after a while, your garden will be filled with beautiful flowers where there were weeds. So similarly, it says in our life, our mind is all the time in sense objects. And that's all we are watering. So these sense objects are growing and our mind is so filled up, there is no space for Bhagawan. Like weeds, the objects take over. So worldly attachment. So they say, withdraw your mind. And these habits of dwelling on objects and vasanas are so difficult to, just as weeds you have to pull out with force, to remove these vasanas from the mind takes a lot of effort, a lot of force. So it's not easy. So put in the effort required. Remove the vasanas and put Bhagwan's name by chanting his mantra. So mantra, there are three things, yantra, mantra, and tantra. Yantra means instruments. So just as we have different in microscope, telescope, so those are all yantras. Tantra are the rituals, you know, that we do. And so doing rituals purifies the mind. And then mantra makes the mind single-pointed and takes us towards God because it is connected to God. Example I heard is that suppose there is a treasure, like a treasure chest, very heavy down below, huge, filled with treasure, but the chest is tightly closed. It fell off a ship many hundreds of years ago. And finally, a diver goes down, locates it and puts a hook on the top of that chest. You know, there's a little hook, he fixes it, ring, and he fixes, and then, but it's too heavy for him to lift. So he'll put that hook, and then to the hook, there is a chain attached. So he'll bring the chain out to the shore, and then the people on the shore can put a heavy machine there. And with that machine, they can retrieve that treasure, pull it out. But that hook and that chain was what connected us. So mantra is the one that connects us to God and takes us to this highest. And that is, success is guaranteed. Because in life, nothing else is guaranteed. You say, what do you mean nothing else is guaranteed? I have my, you know, stock portfolio. Yeah, but you don't know when recession might come and suddenly your stocks get wiped out. He said, okay, social security is guaranteed, at least, you know, we are all at that age, you know, where we are depending on. Social security is not guaranteed. They say by in next 10, 12 years, the money may run out. And unless Congress does something, there may not be. Already they are extending the dates. You know, they may cut down the payments. So that's not, he said, oh, my children are guaranteed. He said, forget it. They can hardly take care of themselves and their family. They are so busy. Where are they going to have time for you? They'll say, ek taraf baitho, you know, sit in one corner or maybe go to a nursing home. Nothing is guaranteed. Only thing guaranteed is Bhagwan. And it says that this knowledge should not be mere bookish knowledge. You know, just chanting, it should become part of me. Like people say, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Yeah, I am Brahman, but do you have, I still have so many problems. I still have so many sorrows. Mundaka Upanishad says, he said, you cannot say I am Brahman and then say, and I have problems. Either you are Brahman or you have problems. If you have problems, you say I have problems, I am not Brahman. If I am Brahman, then nothing is mine. All problems belong to this body, to this mind. And that's what they say, na ayam atma pravachanena labhyaya na medhaya bahuna shrutena. He says this atma cannot be obtained by pravachana, by giving talks or listening to talks or even by thinking. He said, then why am I logging in, you know, every Tuesday at 12:30 if talks cannot? But these talks can take us in the right direction. And ultimately, he says, only thing that person can get atma is yama esha vrinute. One who chooses atma exclusively, chooses Bhagwan exclusively, then Bhagwan is available. So if we want this, we have to choose it as number one. Exclusively, not, you know, like when you go to the grocery store, like in India, you know they have these grocery, then you go to the shopkeeper, you say 2 kilo chawal dena, dal dena, or atta dena, or saath mein brahman bhi dena, you know, that's give me 2 kilos of atta, dal, chawal, and also brahman. Not like that, then brahman nahi milega. You have to choose it exclusively. And it has to be done with humility. Bhagwan, you are supreme. It is because of your glory that we have this knowledge. So please be available to me. And by concentrating, you can reach. Concentration is very important. So they say, like, there is a black paper, right? And there is sunlight coming from above. Nothing happens to the black paper, but you take a convex lens and you shine it, and you focus that sunlight from all into one spot, and that black paper burns. Why does it burn? Because that is not the convex lens that is burning. It is the sunlight's power, but the convex lens only concentrates that. So chanting of the mantra is that concentration of the Bhagwan's power, which will burn all our impurities. So that's why they say concentration is important. And that's why Bhagwan Sri Krishna says, yajna nam japa yajnyosmi. Among all the yajnas, all the spiritual disciplines, japa yajna is the best. In the 10th chapter, Bhagwan says, and as I said, it should not be done mechanically, should be done mindfully, paying attention to the sound, and then paying attention to the silence between the mantras, Om Namo Narayana, silence, and then again, Om Namo Narayana. So chanting and paying attention to the silence. And why is the mantras powerful? Because they have been revealed by Bhagwan himself to the great rishis. Just as Gayatri Mantra was revealed by Surya Devta, the Supreme Consciousness, describing the glory of Surya Devta to Vishwamitra Rishi. So Vishwamitra Rishi was the great Rishi who saw this mantra, who heard it in his meditation and revealed it to us. So that's why Gayatri Mantra has so much power, because it has the power of Bhagwan and then Surya Bhagwan and then Vishwamitra Rishi. Other way to get mantra is when Guru reveals a mantra to you. You know, in some spiritual organizations, the Guru whispers the mantra in your ear. So a mantra given by the Guru or given by the great rishis, or that your Ishta Devta, your family Devta, but a mantra should be chanted by everybody constantly. Why? Because single-pointed buddhi alone is vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahu shakha yanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So it says, Bhagwan says in the second chapter, he says, people who have multi-pointed thinking, their mind is in 100 different places, bahu shakha yanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So let us not be one who is disorganized, who is multi-pronged and his mind is everywhere. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. O Arjuna, O son of Kuru family, there is only one vyavasayatmika focused buddhi. So make your buddhi focused, single-pointed, and focus on me. That's what Bhagwan says. So the buddhi that is focused on God, single-pointed, not running here and there, is what we need to develop. And that is what this beautiful text is telling us, that remember God, remember constantly, remember mindfully. Not only mindfully remembering, but every action that we do should be mindfully done. Even when I'm walking, pay attention to every step you are taking. When you are cooking, you know, I don't remember, are salt dala ke nahi dala. Full attention on everything that we are doing, so that constant is there. So mindful living is all in the Nana. Many times we'll talk about mindfulness. Most of the spiritual disciplines talk about living mindfully. So that is what they say, remember God with full attention. And that is the best advice. That is the best medicine. And that is the best mantra. So we'll end here. We have a few minutes if there are any questions or comments. Because the next shloka, I don't think we'll be able to finish. So I think I just did two shlokas and then we summarized all the 17. So we'll end here. If anybody would like to add anything or have any questions, comments, I'll do it on gallery view so we can see everybody.
I had a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Kerry.
I was just wondering if you, maybe I don't quite understand like the difference between samsaras and vasanas.
Yeah, samsa, Oh, samskaras you're talking about.
Samskaras, that's it.
Yeah, samskaras. Okay, and vasana, that's a very good question. Samskaras are our family traditions that we are born with. And they are generally considered the good things that are passed on from generation to generation, family to family, from parents. So that's why they say he is born with good samskaras, means he is born with good family habits, family traits, family tendency. So samskaras go back to many generations, can go back to the, you know, the, like, so that is vasanas are tendencies which we have accumulated, the individual has accumulated. So this jiva called Keri, which at this birth is called Keri, maybe in previous life your name was Mohan, maybe you were in India, that's why you're so fascinated. So the point is that as a jiva, I go through different lifetimes, different births and deaths. So during those births and deaths, I accumulate certain tendencies, which are called vasanas. They could be good or they could be bad. Generally, vasanas is given a negative connotation, but there could be even good desires. But these are desires or tendencies which make me act in a particular way. So vasanas are tendencies which make me act and which bind me. Because then I get tied down. Somebody has a desire to smoke or drink or, you know, too much food or wealth or whatever. These strong desires tie me down to this. And then I cannot escape. Because then next life, whatever vasanas I have accumulated, then I will take another birth to fulfill those vasanas, those desires. And that will go on and on. So that's why they say, do not have any strong vasanas. Do not have any strong likes and dislikes. Do not have strong desires, strong tendencies, except for Bhagwan. That is a good vasana, that I must have that. But aside from that, slowly weaken the other vasanas. Reduce my other desires, except desire for Bhagwan. Because we find that each one of us has certain things that hook us. Why did I take birth? To fulfill certain vasanas. So try to rise above them. So that is the difference between samskaras and vasanas. I don't know if I made that clear.
I was kind of just thinking about how you try to concentrate, you know, the vrittis and everything in your mind, and then like, you know, cut off the, you know, when you have like the Shreya and Preya, you know, cut off those Preya things.
Right.
And so that, I mean, I guess then you can slowly change the samskaras that aren't good, mm-hmm. and not form more vasanas.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Guru, that's what Gurudev says, reducing those negative vasanas, increasing positive, and ultimately going beyond both. Nothing should bind me because I am that infinite consciousness that is ever unbound.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else? Sujata, welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Any questions, any comments? Neeru, anything you would like to add?
Well, I found this samskara word. Sanskrit means some, complete or joined together. And kara means action, cause or doing. So in addition to being generalized patterns, samskaras are individual impressions, ideas or action taken together. Like in Hinduism, there are 16 samskara, like at birth, then they give upanayanam, and all those, there are 16 samskaras they are given. So that is what the samskaras are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else you want to add, Neil?
Baki vasana you already told, which is right.
Jayashree, anything?
No, I just want to clarify the mantra. It's Om Namo Narayanaya.
Yeah.
It's not Narayana. It's
right. You're right. Because it's four. It's two, like Om Namah Shivaya. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. That's right.
Fourth case.
Fourth case, Chaturthi. Anyone else? Moini auntie, you have any question, comment?
No, no, I was just going to say that sanskara, which Niruji have just said, those sanskaras are religious sanskaras, which we have to perform, the birth rites and all that. The other sanskara which Carrie is asking is the sanskar which is in an individual family. Their upbringing and giving the their values to their children. As I give my sanskars the way I have brought up by my parents, the teachings they have given, and I'm giving the same teachings to my kids. This, I think, is a family sanskara and vasanas, which Carrie is trying to distinguish. This is what I understand. I may be wrong.
No, thank you. You're right, auntie. Yes, absolutely correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Satish Bhai, you have anything to add?
Well, I just wanted to say that the I've recently read that mantras are to become, not just to utter. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah. Please? The word mantra means mananat trayate iti mantra. So mantra is that which takes us beyond the mind. See, we are prisoners of our mind. So mananat trayate, which protects us from our own mind, takes us beyond our mind, is the true meaning of mantra. So that is the strength of the mantra, is it strengthens our mind and then ultimately takes us beyond the mind to that infinite consciousness, which is enlivening the mind. That's why in Kena Upanishad it is said, the mind of the mind, the speech of the speech, the eye of the eye. So that consciousness has been communicated to us by rishis as mantras. That's why they say Om is the, just chanting Om alone is enough, because Om is the highest mantra. But Om along with, as Jai Sri said, Namo Narayanaya or Namo Shivaya. So Om, so this mantra connects us to the higher. Like I said, the log of treasure is there in the bottom, in the chest, and you can pull it up. So using the mantra, you can hook your mind to God and go beyond the mind. To, because Bhagwan is beyond the mind. Through the mind, it cannot be known. It can go to that beyond the mind.
The ultimate goal remains the same, pretty much.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Thank
to
you.
To become, right, to become is bhava. That to is bhava. The word bhava. Bhava is the word to become. But mantra is mananat trayate iti mantra. That which takes us beyond the mind and protects the mind.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, we can end. We'll see you next week. We'll start from shloka number 20.
Evening class, right?
I'm sorry?
Evening Ramayan class.
Yeah, there is Rama. All the regular weekly classes are all on. There will be Ramayan today, 7:30 to 9. Wednesday study group tomorrow. Thursday study group. Sunday, everything. I'll send a reminder to the Ramayan text message I'll send right now. Thank you for reminding me. I'll do that. Thank you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.